What's up, first thing first listeners? It's your boy Shay Sharp, co-host of FS1's Undisputed. I wanted to tell you about my new podcast, Club Shay Shay, where we always do something before two something. Each week, I sit down with a guest for a drink and conversation, and as host and proprietor of Club Shay Shay, I welcome in esteemed guests such as Snoop Dogg, Floyd Money Mayweather, LeVar Ball, Isaiah Thomas, just to mention a few. Whether I'm talking to an athlete, a musician, an actor, or a lifelong friend, Club Shay Shay is a place where people share inspiring and motivational stories about their journeys to prominence. The new episode drops every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to Club Shay Shay now and make sure you never miss a new episode. Now, back to first things first.
Here we go. Can the King take down the Red Hot Suns tonight? It's going to be a good one.
Wow.
Is a Patriots reunion with Cam Newton more likely than we originally thought, Kevin Wilds? And J.J. Watt is headed to Arizona. And with that, we say good Tuesday morning, everyone. Jenna Wolf alongside Nick Wright, Brandon Marshall, Kevin Wilds. Nick, J.J. to the Cardinals. Did that surprise you at all?
It's shocking. I am legitimately gobsmacked. This is the team he chose, but we'll see.
We got a gobsmack.
Why?
We got a gobsmack. All right, we'll get all into that, but we got to start talking some James Harden. The name not in most MVP conversations, just might be in some MVP conversations after last night. Nets and Spurs and the beard with, I'll say it, his best night as a Net. Put up a triple-double, help Brooklyn to the win in overtime. That's seven triple-doubles now for Harden in 22 games with Brooklyn. KD who? Nets over the Spurs. Here's Kyrie on his backcourt BFF.
When James is being James, it makes all our job a lot easier. And, we got to get used to somebody special like that doing things like that in terms of breaking records. So I can't wait to be right alongside him with my name in Nets history, alongside KD, alongside BB, alongside Joe, alongside all the guys on our team where we're just breaking records as a team. And then individually, we're stacking up with some of the best to ever play. So that's a pretty great child.
Really? With a stick? I'll go only if I can bring my stick. Brandon. Has James Harden officially entered the MVP discussion?
Well, we'll see if he's officially entered Nick's MVP discussion and Wild's MVP discussion. But last week when we talked about it, I believe Nick and Chris laughed at me when I said, you know what, there's Joel Embiid right here, and then there's the rest of the Nets. And I talked about James Harden. What I talked about was the sacrifice that he was willing to make, he has made since he's come over from Houston. And also the trust. That's another thing that's come out over the last couple games is trust. This dude isn't even breaking a sweat when he's out there. It's like he's playing backyard basketball. He's dribbling. He's kicking it. He's playing around. It's like, you know what? If I can't do it, I know my teammates can do it. This is a special team. Sometimes we forget about the mentality that these players have. He heard us talking about him not playing defense. He heard us talking about pretty much being a ball hog and not getting other guys involved. And that was a big red flag coming in was, well, how are these three guys going to do it? How are they going to come together? Like, we understand how LeBron and D. Wade and Chris Bosh did it because they weren't all three ball-dominant guys. These are three ball-dominant guys coming together making it work. I know KD hasn't been around, but this dude said, you know what? I'll be the one to sacrifice, and he's still finding a way to put up 25, 8, and 11. This dude is sensational, and there's two words we need to take from here. Sacrifice and trust.
Oh, that's nice.
Okay, so I agree with a lot of that. James Harden's awesome. James Harden's been awesome for a very, very long time. And we can set aside the napalming he did to the Houston locker room since that didn't happen this season. It shouldn't affect this. Oh, that did happen this season, so it should affect this year's MVP discussion. But we still can set it aside. We can still put it in a different category. But when I used to live in Houston, you know what Houston fans would say, even though it's one of the five biggest cities in the country? We're treated like a small market. We're not a coastal city, and those coastal elites ignore us, ignore our athletes. And I said, guys, shut up. That doesn't actually happen. And now that I live on the coast, and I see some of the media coverage of the reinvented James Harden, you know what? I think my friends in Texas might have been right. Because Kevin Wildes, I want to show you something. Here are four stat lines. And you can tell me which one you find the most impressive. The first one, 29, 8, and 11. Second one, 36, 6, and 7. 34, 6, and 7. And then 25, 7, and 11. Now, before we reveal them, we could argue about what the most impressive is. But I think everyone would agree the least impressive is the last one. He's averaged more assists, more rebounds, and it's the fewest points. Can we show those 4 years, please? What? Who are this? Oh, wait.
Oh, boom.
Those are four James Harden years. And what do they all have in common? None of those years he won MVP. I took out his 2018 year when he actually did win the MVP. So if James Harden is an MVP candidate averaging 25 and 11, one must wonder why he didn't win it when he averaged 29 and 11. Why he didn't win it when he averaged 36 or 34. So is it a new and improved James Harden, or is it a new set of eyeballs looking at James Harden? And again, forget the napalming of the locker room, Wildes, because Latrell Sprewell sitting there saying, hey, I know I choked PJ Carlissimo, but I was an all-star that year. I got snubbed. You can't hold that one thing against me. So I'm just asking, is it actually a new James Harden or not? I don't know. Maybe it's just a new team.
I like this. As a coastal elite, I apologize for not paying attention to those last few years while you were down in Houston. I apologize. I was too busy out on my yacht, yeah, you know, having liberal ideas.
Out on the Cape. Yep.
So, all right. So I want to address the napalming of Houston, where I think that's why people are taking him straight up out of the conversation. We're like, you can't be MVP because you weren't MVP for Houston. That is not his fault, and I don't think it should be held against him. First of all, there was 9 games in Houston while he was on the squad. He straight up told Raphael Stone, hey, guys, I don't want to be here. And they're like, well, we're willing to get uncomfortable. And James Harden says, all right, you know what? I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. He comes out, he scores 44, he scores 34, he scores 33. And the Rockets are like, our plan is working. We won't give in. He's like, all right, now I'm going to take a game off, and then I'm going to start scoring in the teens. So out of those 9 games, he played hard for 3, and then he sort of leaned back so he could force his trade to Brooklyn. Now, if you want those to disqualify you, let's just cross them out, Nick. Let's just assume they never happened, and I will give you 2 historical precedents. So he didn't play 6 games for the Rockets. We're going to throw those in the garbage. Bill Walton in 1977 broke his foot, missed 14 games, and won MVP. And then in 56, I was a young boy. I was 12 years old. 1956, Bob Cousy missed 8 games and won MVP.
You weren't 12.
I agree with you that, you know, our coastal elites did not pay attention to James Harden enough, perhaps. But I think that the Rockets sort of, let's say he gave up. I don't think that should be held against him. I know it sounds funny, but just cross him off. And just like Bob Cousy missed games, and just like Bill Walton missed games, I still think he should be in the conversation.
Yeah, absolutely he should be in the conversation. It's because of what he's doing. There's 3 teams, Wild, that should win the title. And there's a couple teams that can. And those 3 teams that should, we're talking about the LA Clippers and the Lakers and the Nets. Everybody else is just like, oh, yeah, he has Giannis. They can win it. Oh, look at the 76ers. They're in the East, and they have Embiid. He's playing lights out, and they can win it. If you take out James Harden from this situation in Brooklyn, I don't know if we have a championship team there. I think we have a team that's competitive, but I don't even know if they make it out of the East, Nick, given how the 76ers and Embiid is playing. So for me right now, I have Embiid at the top for the MVP race, and then I have James Harden, and then I have a few other guys. You got LeBron James, and I still will throw Kyrie in there as well. He's having a sensational year.
Nice.
Okay, so a few things. One is, the Nets didn't start the season with Harden. and plenty of people,
correct.
I think even some people on this show, picked them to win the East. So we do know that the Nets, before Harden got there, were a trendy pick to get out of the East. And one of the reasons right now they are so reliant on Harden is because of the players they traded away to get him. But to Wild's ludicrous Bob Cousy comp, he didn't miss games. He played in games and quit on his team. And Wild's earmuffs, buddy. Because Harden.
He didn't quit on his team.
You're allowed to miss games due to injuries. He did. It's fine. He forced his way out. And Wild, you're going to get upset here, and I apologize, because we all love this guy, and you deeply, personally love this guy. But there is a comp for this, and he was penalized greatly in the MVP voting. The comp is Vince Carter. Vince Carter wanted out of Toronto, forced his way out by basically mailing in games, got to New Jersey, the same Nets team, by the way, not only averaged 27 a game, but that team started the year 2-11. He carried them to the playoffs. Down the stretch, they had to win every game in the final four. He averaged 37 a game, scored 37 in game 82 to get them into the playoffs. He finished 13th in MVP voting, one more vote than PJ Brown got. You know why? Because he quit on a team that season. Eh. And there is no example of a guy.
Nick, I'm disappointed in you.
Why? Tell
what's
me why
his name?
You're
disappointed. What's your boy's? What's your boy's name? Daryl Morey or Murray, the team general manager. He goes to the owner. He says, you know what? I won out. And he gets out. And then you got D'Antoni. I know his contract was up, but he goes to the owner. He says, you know what? Yeah. Let's just go separate ways. I don't even want to sit at the table. And now you have James Harden says, you know what, guys? This isn't working out for me. I gave you guys so many years. It's not working out. I want to move on. And then they try to hold the guy hostage. I'm disappointed in you, Nick. I'm disappointed.
No, hold on. Wait a minute.
Daryl Morey's not going to win MVP.
Wait a minute. Wait a second. James Harden got what he wanted. And he's in a better situation, and he gets all his money, and he's going to be all NBA and all of these things. But that doesn't
but
mean
he can't be MVP.
That there isn't correct. Because the correct, okay. That is absolutely right. Because there is the word valuable in it for a reason. It's not
can
most
we bring
fantasy
this back? We
points
go,
accumulated
we gotta go,
like Wild tried to
back,
do
Jenna?
Yesterday.
We're not only going to bring this back,
we're going to bring
Broussard in, and it's going to be an even better conversation. But for now, we got to talk some J.J. Watt. J.J. is seeing red. Nick is, quote, gobsmacked about the whole deal. We'll discuss it next, first things first.
Okay, quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So, to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF.
Hey, First Things First listeners, I wanted to tell you about our brand new Fox Sports app and website, foxsports.com, reimagined for the modern sports fan. Go ahead. Download the new app right now. You don't even have to pause this episode. Every day on the new app and website, you'll see the top stories in sports, plus a rich world of written content, videos, social media, and analytics to give you a 360-degree view of the most important stories of the day. Streaming live TV has never been so easy or elegant. Every Fox Sports game, including all pregame and postgame shows, as well as the televised version of this show, just a click away. For the extra invested fan, we also go deep with real-time wagering lines, trending prop bets, win probability, and key player projections. So download the new Fox Sports app or visit www.foxsports.com.
All right, moving on now. So J.J. Watt announced yesterday he's taking his talents to Arizona to join the Cardinals. J.J. said he wanted to play for a contender, reportedly mulling the Packers, the Browns, and the Titans, yet he picks the 8-8 Cardinals. 2 years,
JJ's ready to go.
$23 million guaranteed. Hey, I don't know. Maybe Texans could have possibly gotten something back for him after all with that kind of money. Here's JJ on a new chapter in Arizona.
I'm very excited. My wife and I are very excited to be here. Mr. Bidwell, Steve, everybody here has been unbelievable so far. And I'm just excited to get started. I'm very excited to get started, get to work, get to know the people of Arizona, and to go to work to try and help them win a championship. And the one thing that I can promise you is I'm going to work my ass off every single day to make you proud. And I'm very proud to be a part of the Bird Gang in the Red Sea. So let's get started.
Bird Gang.
$23 million and he has to carry his own sneakers. They have little sneaker bags. Brandon, how surprised are you JJ ended up signing with the Cardinals? With all the teams we were discussing this past week.
Right. I know. And then there was a report that the Colts were in on him and offered them the most money. And he turned that down. So I'm surprised because I thought it was about winning. You know, from a football's perspective, it makes sense. You know, this is a dude that loves to play the four technique. Now you pair him with Chandler Jones, and now you can allow him, let him use his natural slip and speed to power, which is going to create havoc for anybody on the opposite side. So this could be a very impactful move for that defense. But when you think about winning championships, I just don't know if the Cardinals have enough. Like, I love the pieces that they have, but when you compare them to other situations, I'm not sure they can compete. When I was going through my situation from leaving the Jets to going to the Giants, I was looking for good management. I wanted stability at the management level. I wanted good ownership. I wanted a winning quarterback. I wanted a number one receiver like an Odell Beckham Jr. so I can then slip into the number two spot and get better matchups. And I wanted a top five defense. And when you look at JJ, I'm looking at this situation. I'm like, all right, you have Chandler Jones. It's reminiscent of the 49ers when they had Justin Smith and a young spry Alden Smith. And then you have D-Hop and Alden Smith. And then you have D-Hop and you have Kyler Murray. But outside of that, you know, I'm not so sure where the championship is. You have a good coach, and we're still trying to figure out who he is. Management is okay. So I don't love it, but, you know, who knows what his process was and what he was trying to accomplish in this offseason.
Listen, I don't begrudge him for his decision. He chose great weather, great golf, great money, great lifestyle. Good for him. He's earned it. But obviously, it wasn't about winning a championship. And that's fine. I'm not judging him, by the way. The idea that every athlete is obligated near the end of their career to chase a championship is belied by the fact that often when guys do chase championships, they get criticized for that, too. But forget the Cardinals winning the Super Bowl. Right now, I offer you an even money bet. You have to pick a side. What side you picking? The Cardinals win their division or the Cardinals finish last in their division? Because I'm picking finish last every time. Seattle, the Rams with Stafford, San Francisco back healthy, and then you have the Cardinals. Maybe Wilds, he chose the Cardinals because it would have been too much of a culture shock to go from a Bill O'Brien-led team for so many years to an actual good coach. So Cliff Kingsbury, it's more warm and comfortable. He's like, oh, a poorly coached, poorly run team. Okay, makes sense. I don't know. But I don't begrudge him the decision. What? I'm not allowed to say Cliff Kingsbury is not a good coach. That's the third rail where we can't criticize Cliff Kingsbury's unbelievable coaching resume. I think it's fine. By the way, I'm from Kansas City. if I was rich and had all these options, and I mean, would I choose to live in Kansas City over Arizona? Probably not. So, like, I don't blame him for that, but I don't think we can say the number one priority was winning a championship, but that's, he's not obligated for that to be his number one priority, okay, right?
You've also asked for him to go to Kansas City a few times, that you've said multiple times on this show, please come to Kansas City. We've got great food. Yeah. We've got all these fountains.
Yeah.
You know, it's great. Yeah, and Patrick Mahomes. But then you're saying you wouldn't go back there. So, you know, I feel like you are a little bit mad at J.J. Watt, and it's manifesting in some Cliff Kingsbury.
That's not true.
Shots at Cliff.
Because I didn't think you. I thought he was going to go to Green Bay. Wilds. I thought I never. Well, I wanted him to go to Kansas City. I never thought he was. But I just. I think most people, Wilds, thought he was going to go to the best available place to win a title or go play with his brothers. Yep. I don't think many people saw Arizona as even in the top 10 most likely destinations.
But you never know.
The brother thing is odd, too. The brother thing is odd, too. It's like, hey, come play with me. Like, nah, you know, it's just we're going to be fighting all the time. It's just too much. Hey, you know who the secret big loser is here, Brandon? You know, your old buddy Russell Wilson. Look, we pulled up his schedule of players that he has to face. And I know he's telling Pete Carroll, like, hey, Pete Carroll, I'd like a little protection. Uh-oh, buddy. You're going to have to double down now. Look at this squad. He's got Bosa twice. He's got Donald twice. Now he's got J.J. Watt. Get J.J. Watt and Jalen Jones twice. Young and Sweat, get them once. Khalil Mack, get once. Darius Smith, get once. Forrest Buckner, once. Friend of the show, Cam Jordan. So the domino effect here, Brandon, is that Russell Wilson, I'm not demanding a trade. But by the way, if I were to demand the trade, these are the four teams that I would accept a trade to. I feel like we have to ratchet that up just a little bit more if he's tired of getting hit and this is the gauntlet of opponents he has to go through. Plus, we don't know who he's for the 17th game. Who knows who that's going to be? Probably throw another, you know, great defensive player on there for the 17th game, too.
Yeah, I agree with you. If I'm Russell Wilson right now, I'm probably flying from the Bahamas or Mexico, wherever I'm at, and I'm going straight to Seattle. And I'm like, guys, we have to figure this out right now. Are you going to let me go? Or who are we going to draft and who are we going to bring in from a free agency standpoint to protect me? That was his number one thing, is like, please protect me because of who I'm going up against twice a year. And now it only gets worse with J.J. Watt and Chandler Jones and that four technique and him being able to go back into that same position is critical. This dude can now naturally play and use the moves that he does best. This guy, you're talking about J.J. Watt. Now, I know I've been talking about, 16 sacks, 5 sacks, 4 sacks, but you got Chandler Jones, so now he's putting this guard in a tackle position where he has to set straight back, and we're talking about a lot of one-on-ones. This is going to be really interesting, nice. Wilds.
All right, J.J. Watt to the Cardinals. More on that in just a bit. We gotta hit pause, talk about Nick's NBA medals. He gave him out last night. Luka went off. Came one assist shy of a triple-double in a win over the Magic, but Luka missed out on a medal. Nick, who did not? Who you got on the podium today?
Yeah, no one can accuse me of biases when it comes to the medal stand. My large adult Slovenian son left out for LaMelo Ball. Bronze medalist. LaMelo has been unbelievable,
unbelievable
the last 10 games.
Unbelievable.
30 points, 6 rebounds, 8 assists.
So fun to watch.
I know they lost, but he's been spectacular. He's going to be runaway with Rookie of the Year. Silver medalist, James Harden. Hey, you might be ineligible for MVP. You're not ineligible to win a silver medal. Nothing like a great overtime win against the Spurs to raise your MVP profile. 30, 14, and 15, most notably, 0 turnovers. But the gold medalist, the Joker. Nikola Jokic was unstoppable last night. 39, 14, and 9 for Nikola Jokic, who will show this to America, Jenna, I think later this week or next week, puts Nikola Jokic in the season-long lead on the medal stand. Most medals and most cumulative points on our very secret scoring system.
That one
Nikola
coming.
Jokic. So there's your medal stand, Jenna Wolf.
Wilds, who just missed the cut today?
Oh, this is an honorary medal and a big bouquet of flowers to my guy, Joakim Noah. Shams reporting that Joakim Noah retiring, All-NBA first team, defensive player of the year. And I know, Nick, I'm going to ask you for some emotional growth here. If you love LeBron, a lot of people hate Joakim Noah. But I would argue that he made LeBron better. He was intense every game that he played, whether he was in the playoffs or whether he was telling Devin Booker that, yes, we do double team in, pickup games. Shout out to Joakim Noah. He made the NBA more fun, more interesting, and more intense. Congratulations on a great career.
Yeah, Wilds, first of all, I don't know why you insist on making everything about LeBron. This isn't supposed to be about LeBron. But more importantly, and I hate to do this to a fellow media member, but Sham Sharania just stealing my scoop. I reported that Noah effectively retired 2.5 years ago. So, I mean, I don't know why he's so late on this, because he's been effectively retired quite some time, Wilds.
We take a trip up to Foxborough. Are Cam Newton and the Patriots closer to a reunion than we think? I got sources in New England.
Finally, a New England GM that'll acknowledge you, Jenna. Finally. It's been a while.
Hey, First Things First listeners, it's Charlotte Wilder here to tell you about my new podcast with Mark Titus called The People's Sports Podcast. It comes out every Thursday, and Mark and I take one of the big stories of the week, and then we go off on tangents you never saw coming. This might mean that we start talking about the Dodgers winning the World Series and end up wondering if Knicks fans deserve happiness, or begin with LeBron's greatness and end up drafting our ultimate beer league softball team made up of old athletes. Whatever it is, the only rule of the show is that it has to be fun and funny, because these days we could all use as many laughs as we can get. So check it out wherever you get your podcasts and come down weird sports rabbit holes with us. We can't wait to have you. Now, back to First Things First.
Back here, First Things First, let's play a little draw in a blank. So J.J. Watt announced yesterday he's headed to Arizona, had a number of teams lining up for his services. He picked the Cardinals. Brandon, the team that missed out most on the J.J. Watt sweepstakes was blank.
Yeah, they missed out on each other. The Indianapolis Colts, man, great management. Chris Ballard is one of the best in the business. I was with him in Chicago. Head coach, he makes everybody believe. Everybody loves playing for this guy. And then when you break down the team, good defense. Top five defense. You got Buckner. He didn't make the Pro Bowl, but he was all pro. I don't know how that happens. But then you have Darius Leonard. I love what they do on that side of the ball. And then on the offensive side, really, 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 really good offensive line. You got a run game. You got a guy that we believe, the team, believe can come in and lead the way in Carson Wentz. So I think this was the best situation for him to win. I mean, you're playing against the Jacksonville Jaguars, rookie quarterback. You're playing against the Texans, who, you know, that deal down there, JJ. And then the Tennessee Titans. So, I like that situation, but unfortunately it didn't get done.
Brandon, it's a great answer, but I'm going full galaxy brain with my answer. Get ready for it.
Here we go.
I'm going to argue it's the Steelers. That's not the galaxy brain part of it. I'm also going to argue this. J.J. Watt not picking the Steelers is the single biggest indictment of Big Ben you can possibly imagine. His brothers play there. Mike Tomlin is there. It is an all-time great organization with a great defense. And J.J. Watt looked at all of that and said, well, if I'm not going to be able to win a championship either way, might as well go to Arizona where the weather's nice and the golf is great. Like, think about that. They had every reason for him to pick the Steelers. The only ostensible reason that he didn't is they can't win a championship. Why can't they? Because of their quarterback situation. I can't believe he didn't go play with his brothers if he wasn't going to go play with Wisconsin. I think it shows you how far the Steelers have quickly from 11-0 fallen in the eyes of guys around the league, Wilds, when it comes to their ability to compete for a title.
Man, Big Ben taking shots from old Nick Wright. All right, I'm going with the Packers, and here's why. Media members, we all collectively have to put a moratorium on players wanting to go back to their hometown or their home state. J.J. Watt grew up in Wisconsin. He went to Wisconsin, go Badger, Sam Pepper. And I found this quote, which would make you think he wanted to play for the Packers. I'll never forget looking through that fence and just thinking to myself, this is when he was a kid, those guys do this for a living. I'm more excited that we're playing a preseason game there than I am a regular season game. I get to go through the practice experience and kind of live out that dream.
as I had as a kid. If I had read that, I'd be like, Green Bay, here I come. Nope, Arizona, see you later. So we have to just collectively as media, stop it. No one's going back to their hometown.
All right, moving on to the Niners now, where according to a report, the team's made some calls to Carolina. Find out about Teddy Bridgewater's availability. Interesting, since San Fran has a quarterback. His name is Jimmy Garoppolo. Right. Brandon, the Niners calling about right. Bridgewater should have Jimmy G feeling what? Blank.
Yeah, why am I not surprised? I mean, we talk about Garoppolo like he's a free agent. You know, the last 3 years, it's like, what about this quarterback situation? Or put Garoppolo here. He should feel numb. And we also should highlight this guy. We talk about him all the time, how he's not the guy. But is this not the person with the most poise in probably professional sports? You're the starting quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers. The 49ers, and you haven't said anything. I respect you, Jimmy, for just taking this emotional abuse year after year after year. Now, San Francisco, look out. I wouldn't be surprised if Jimmy G goes in and say, guys, enough's enough. I'm out of here. You won't see me in OTAs. You won't see me in training camp. I'm gone.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Brandon, you've been brainwashed. The 49ers calling about Bridgewater should have Jimmy G feeling like a non-quarterback. If 2020 was the year that racial justice came to the forefront, 2021 is going to be the year that unearned privilege comes to the forefront. And I am planting my flag on trying to tear down the unearned privilege of the quarterback. It starts with the numbers. Oh, we changed teams. You got to give me your number. Our friends in Indianapolis said, no. Pittman said, Carson Wentz, that's my number. And now the Niners have the audacity to say, well, every other position, you have to worry about someone taking your job. Every other position, you compete every day. Every other position, you're only as good as your last performance. Your best ability is availability. You're hurt all the time. You blew a Super Bowl. So guess what? We might bring in a little competition like we would if you were the tight end. So, yeah, you know how it should have him feeling? Like a football player. Like every other athlete except for these coddled, protected, privileged quarterbacks. Enough. So I'm happy. Good job, Shanahan. Good job, Lynch.
That's a great take. I love that take. Here's what I feel great about it. I feel like he should be confident. He should be confident that he's going to be the starting quarterback in New England. Oh, the old twist. Where's the Bill Belichick? And so, oh, and Belichick, watch it first things first. What's going on? Oh, Teddy Bridgewater. Let's bring him out. Come back home to New England, buddy. Waiting for you.
Don't ever get settled. Rent, don't buy, Jimmy. Rent, don't buy.
He's not from New England.
Let's talk some emotions. Kawhi had some interesting comments Sunday night after the loss to the Bucks. Said this about his Clippers: as a team, I don't feel like we're there yet. So Brandon, Kawhi's comments are blank.
Yeah, leaving the bubble. Oh, load management, lack of leadership, culture issues, production issues from playoff P. This team is sitting here third in the division. All right, I mean third in the West. They're playing really, really good basketball, and they're just now getting started. So this is great leadership. This is Kawhi doing what we said he can't do, and that's leading the way and setting the tone. So I like this coming from Kawhi at the halfway mark when this team is just now getting started, Nick.
Yeah, that's a very optimistic way to look at this, and I applaud you for that. I'm going slightly different. Kawhi's comments are honest, because as a team, they're not there yet. And barring a trade for Kyle Lowry, they have no way to get there. They do not have someone to orchestrate their offense late in games. It's not yet March 15th, so I'm not allowed to talk about defense. But when I am, I'm going to remind you, they still don't have a rim protector, but set that aside. But he knows it. Kawhi knows that he can't, as great as he is, his single biggest weakness as a player is playmaking. It's why he only has, I think, 2 career double-digit assist games. He knows they need more, and right now they don't have it. So these are honest comments-wise.
I like that take. I there was one play, I'm saying takeover. This is why I still feel confident in the Clippers. There's a dunk here from the third quarter, and it's like it's fourth quarter bias that no one wants to talk about awesome things that happen in the third quarter. It's like, woo! game was getting tight. It's like, oh, this, like, the ability, I know you're talking about playmaking by, like, distributing the ball, but the ability to just take over the game, I still think they can carry the Clippers pretty far, but they probably do need to add a piece. If they get Lowry, I feel a little bit scared about your Brooklyn Nets there, Brandon.
Hey, let's stick
with some hoops. Can LeBron and the Lakers knock off those red-hot Phoenix Suns tonight? We'll have that next. First things first. Saturday on Fox, a crucial Big East doubleheader tipping off at 2:30 Eastern. Number 10, Villanova faces Providence, followed by number 14, Creighton taking on Butler. The league's top two contenders looking to gain some steam heading into that Big East tournament. Saturday on Fox and the Fox Sports app. We got Chris Broussard with us now. Broussard, let's run a little fast break here. Luka went off last night, one assist shy of a triple-double as the Mavs beat Orlando. How about Dallas? Winners of eight of their last 10 games. So, Broussard, is Luka proving that he can carry this Mavs team into the playoffs?
I'm going to say no just because I think he proved it last year. They were the seventh seed in the West. And that was with Kristaps Porzingis, his second guy, missing 18 games. He took them to the playoffs. They were only like 2.5 games out of fourth place last year. So what was the aberration was the slow start this year. And I think that's because Luka just wasn't in shape. And now he's in basketball shape. He's playing at the top of his game. 30 points, 8 assists, 8 rebounds during that stretch you've talked about where they've won 8 of 10. Remember, they only need to get into the top 10 because you're in the play-in game. I guarantee you they'll do that. Let me throw this out there, too. Luka's shooting 44% from three over the last month. If he's going to do that, he's unstoppable.
Yep. All right, now you're, you know what? Broussard, every once in a while, I'm this close to being like, you know what? I don't even know why I like Chris Broussard. All his takes are just so bad. And then he comes out with a gem on Luka. It was great. It was just great take. Almost everything he said is right. I'm just going to add this. Of course he proved it last year. They're not going to be in the play-in. They're going to continue to win. They've won 8 of their last 10. And I had to listen during the break to Broussard and Brandon both just paint beautiful tapestries about tell me who's playing better than James Harden over the last month. This guy. This guy who's averaging 32, 8, and 8.
You're right.
And over the last 10 games, shooting 47% from three. On the season now, 36% from three. He is arguably, now that he's in shape, and I typically, Brandon, would hold the beginning of the season against him for being out of shape. But we don't hold anything against anybody. That's unfair. He didn't quit on the Mavs. He was just a little overweight, so who cares? So listen, Luka, MVP, I suppose. No, Luka, got to be in the MVP discussion. He didn't quit on the Mavs. He just overate on the Mavs. So who cares?
A few more
games. Of course he can carry them into the playoffs. Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying. That's all I'm saying, Brandon. So, yeah, of course he can.
Disappointed in you, Nicholas. Rules. Come on, brother. Look, it's not all about scoring a basket. James Harden is not only scoring, averaging 25 points, but his assist is bringing in 25 points. That's why James Harden is playing better than Luka. But if we're going to talk about Luka, then the answer is yes, absolutely. This is what happens when you're a top five player. He's that good. But we've seen this before. Now, how far they go is going to be determined by another guy on this team, and that's Porzingis. Porzingis, 7'3". Hopefully, his frame can hold up just a little bit. You know the liability around Porzingis. It's his defense, and it's his health. If he can hold up, this could be a dangerous team once they get in. Because Luka will get them in the playoffs. Luka may be able to win them two or three games, but that's it.
You're 100% right, Brandon. Porzingis played 20 games. He's missed 13. He's back. He's playing well. He's getting about 19-8, and that's what Luka needs, another guy. They were so desperate for more scoring. That's why Myles Garrett's tweeting out to Mark Cuban, like, hey, you need a big guard. I know you're missing Porzingis. Bring in old Myles Garrett in his Jurassic Park t-shirts. So now that Porzingis is back, Luka will play better.
See that Myles Garrett jumping up? That was like 34-foot box jump yesterday.
Yeah, Jurassic Park.
Incredible. That's it. You guys see Zion last night? Let's talk some New Orleans. He was so good again. 26-10. Pelicans took down the NBA's top team, the Utah Jazz. Hey, Broussard, Was last night more about Zion and the Pelicans' win or Utah's loss?
Well, let me not just ignore the Jazz. They've now lost three of their last six, all right? So we can put all the talk about them being the 2014 Spurs or one of those Warriors teams. We can put that to bed, all right? They're coming back to the pack. But I had to say that, but this is more about New Orleans. And look, they've won eight of their last 15, which for a young team like that is a nice stretch. And it coincides with Zion having the ball in his hands. Give Stan Van Gundy some credit. He's put the ball in Zion's hands a little more. Not exclusively, which I don't want that. But occasionally, Zion's running a high pick and roll. He's even playing some point guard. And that gives the defense a different look, which I like. His numbers are great, 27 points a game during that stretch. Here's the other thing. We know Brandon Ingram's playing well. And then Lonzo. During this last 15 games where they've gone 8-7, Lonzo is really acclimating to being not the point guard all the time. He's averaging 17 points and shooting 46% from three. In New Orleans, they have a poor man's big three developing with Zion, Brandon Ingram, and Lonzo that maybe eventually can turn into a real big three.
There it is.
It's cute right now. Maybe it'll be handsome in a few years.
Oh, look at that.
There you go. You said it. The kid from Spartansburg Day, Zion Williamson. This era has begun. And last night, it wasn't about Zion. It wasn't about Ingram. It was about the last guy that you threw into the big three, Chris. And that's Lonzo Ball. Lonzo Ball is the reason why this team has been playing really well the last couple weeks. What happened the last couple weeks? J.J. Redick pulls over Lonzo and says, buddy, you got to be more aggressive. What are you doing? We need you. Come on, man. Step into your own. And that's what he's done. So last night was about Lonzo Ball finally becoming part of the big three.
Okay, so quick note on Zion, and then I'm going to get to the Jazz. Listen, everyone, yes, if you have a chance, should go back and watch that third quarter last night. Because what Zion did to Rudy Gobert and just getting to the rim at will against the Defensive Player of the Year in the NBA was magnificent. And by the way, updated NBA player pyramid coming out tomorrow. Total vindication for Zion's spot on the pyramid, which Chris Broussard, I think Broussard had him beneath Chris Boucher on his player pyramid. So vindication for Zion's spot on the pyramid. Now to the Jazz.
Throw him under the
bus. Folks, NBA Twitter, stop treating the Utah Jazz like my mother used to treat Brussels sprouts. Like, I know they're terrible. I know you hate them, but you've got to eat them. Grown-ups eat them. They're good for you. There are no added vitamins and minerals from appreciating the Jazz ball movement. They're not a contender. They're not interesting. They don't have a superstar. Nobody actually cares about them outside of Salt Lake City. And you don't get some badge of NBA true fan for being like, you know what? I love the way the ball just pops from Ingles to Bogdanovich. Shut up. You're pretending to like watching them play. You don't actually like watching them play.
Jazz,
and now, as they come back to the
pack,
everyone now can ignore them
Nick,
the way we're supposed
wrong with you.
To. It's enough. No, I'm just being honest. They treat them like they're the NBA's vegetables. Like, you don't have to like them, but you have to eat them. No, I don't. I don't actually, Wilds.
Oh, my
I don't.
Goodness.
You know what I like about watching the Jazz? The ball movement and the way the ball pops from, you know, Bojan to Ingles. They're really moving around. They're a balanced squad, Nick. I know you're going
to
say they're not a superstar. I'd argue that Spider is a superstar in the making. He's not super duper star. He's not an immortal god, but he's right there on the cusp. Stay tuned for your player pyramid. We'll see where he is. Not a terrible loss for the Jazz here. Here's why. First of all, you'll like this. Nice balance. Nice balance. Bojan 21, Gobert 22, Donovan 21, Clarkson 20 off the bench.
See, you talk popping. About the Jazz and they roll tape. You talk about the Jazz, Jenna, and they're like, move on to interesting teams.
They move on.
That does get Nick excited. LeBron and the Lakers, they're back in action tonight. Lakers playing the Suns, Devin Booker and the Suns. Lakers have won two in a row. Booker coming off a season high 43. Little must-watch TV tonight. Broussard, what are you most looking forward to in this one?
Well, look, the Suns are the hottest team in the league right now, so I want to see the Lakers play against them. Look, they beat up on a Portland team that was struggling in the midst of a four-game losing streak. Golden State's up and down. This will be a better test for these Lakers without AD. Devin Booker has been rejuvenated since he's landed on the All-Star team, so I want to see him go off. And Dennis Schroeder versus Chris Paul. Two little feisty guards going at it. That'll be a lot of fun.
Oh, feisty. Yeah, Chris Paul, by the way, top three MVP candidate, unlike James Harden, Chris Paul.
Stop.
I'm excited for this game for a couple of reasons. When the Lakers were in their four-game swoon, I said on this show, they're going to win four in a row, headed into the All-Star break. This would be win number three. Also, when the Lakers win tonight, their final game before the break will be against the Kings. It'll be very nice. Right before the break, the Lakers can get Luke Walton fired, and they can play against him in his final game ever coaching in the NBA. So that'll be good, too. So Lakers win tonight. They beat the Kings tomorrow. They go into the break on a four-game winning streak.
Shots Nick, wow. The Suns are insanely hot. And the Lakers don't have a chance. Your boy LBJ is going to have to drop 50 if he wants to win. They're not only insanely hot. You got to think about the mentality. Wow. It's almost like what Steph Curry said. Steph Curry said, like, wow, when teams play us, they still remember what we did to them. They still remember how dominant we were. That's the Lakers. The Lakers are going to get every team's best shot. They don't have AD, and they're insanely hot. So the Lakers don't have a chance unless your boy LBJ comes in and drops 50. And I don't see that happen, so I'm going with the Suns.
All right, we shall see. We got to get back to J.J. Watt now. The guy's still shocked he picked Arizona. Coach will be with us. Coach Mangini joining us next to discuss the level of shock. First things first.
Producers were so mad Wilds talked about the Jazz, they wouldn't let us.
Welcome back. Time now for stories to start your morning, sponsored by Subway. We're talking beards. Dang. One beard in particular, James Harden. Another big night. Nets with another big win to beat the Spurs in overtime. James Harden, your guy, Brandon. Big reason why. 30 points, 15 assists, 14 boards. Might he be MVP? Take a few more days to rest, Katie. Mm. We got this, says everyone else. Brandon, has James Harden officially entered the MVP discussion?
Yeah, he entered it for me last week. A couple weeks ago, you know, we start having this conversation about the Nets, and, you know, Nick start talking about, oh, they can't do it. They won't make it because they don't have D. And then I said, look, let's talk about this sacrifice that James Harden is making. We need to highlight that. He wasn't playing as lights out because KD was still there, so he wasn't averaging 25 points. He wasn't averaging 11 points. He was just doing what he had to do. But the reason why I wanted to talk about him is because we bashed him leaving Houston. In a lot of areas, rightfully so. But if a player starts making those adjustments that we've been calling for him to make the last couple years, then let's talk about that as well. Oh, he's ball dominant. Oh, he doesn't play defense. This dude is not only playing lights out on the floor, he's also getting his guys where they need to be on and off the court. He is the leader of that team. He is the glue of that team. So 100%, let's start this conversation, not only with me, but everybody else out there, about how James Harden is in a discussion for MVP. Trust is another thing. He's playing so, like, effortless. When he's out there, he's not even breaking sweat. This dude trusts his teammates. He's doing what he needs to do, and he's kicking the ball. He's getting other guys involved. He's making this team better on both ends of the court. Think about what I just said, on both ends of the court. So I really want to continue this discussion on James Harden because he's playing lights out.
Okay, my take, Brandon, is that all the haters out there, this is directed to you. If you've got a little hat that you're watching the show on, it says hater on the top, lean in and pay attention to your old buddy Kevin Wilds. Because here's why people are not putting James Harden on the ballot. Six games. Oh, he quit. He quit on the Rockets. Oh, how could he do it? It was six games. There's a 72-game season, and he came out and played, strong the first three games. He scored 44, he scored 34, he scored 33, and the Rockets organization was like, aha, we gotcha. We knew you were going to play, and then Harden's like, all right, I'm going to skip the next game, and then I'm going to start scoring the teens. And now if you want to disqualify the poor guy because he had to force his way out by playing mediocre for six games, that's fine. But, Nick,
basketball historian as you are, don't you remember when you were just a small child in 1977, poor Bill Walton broke his foot, missed 14 games and won the MVP. And then when I was just 12 years old in 1956, Bob Cousy missed 8 games, still won the MVP. So just because James Harden dogged it for 6 games, which he had to do because his hand was forced, because the Rockets were going to try to just ignore the situation and hope he kept on scoring 44, it's not his fault. Okay. And by the way, just one little extra caveat, buddy. It's called most valuable player. It's called, not called nicest player. It's called valuable to your team.
That's right.
And guess what? Oh, he's valuable to the Nets. Take the Rockets games and throw them in the garbage. You did plenty for them in the franchise.
Are we throwing all the Wilds? Right, Wilds, right, I have a question.
And Wilds, move them to Brooklyn when you wanted to.
Wait, no, okay, that's, listen, I appreciate you bringing up Bob Cousy. He's not talked about enough on sports television. And Bill Walton's MVP year is the outlier year, but it was a nice thing for him because he's an all-time great and all-time what-if guy. Was he valuable to the Rockets this year, Wilds? Was he, because you brought up the word.
No, but he's valuable to the Nets by submarining the Rockets.
Okay, got it. So what you're not then allowed to do, if I will play your game, is say he wasn't valuable to the Rockets, but I'm going to include the 3 games where they went 1-2, but he scored a bunch of points. So what you would like to do is Men in Black neuralize those 9 games from the season. That means he can't win MVP because he's played 22 of the Nets' 36 games. You can bring up, Bill Walton missed 14. Well, 36 minus 22, there's 14 already, and I don't think he's going to play every game the rest of the way, and Walton's the MVP who played the least. So even if I just play by your set of rules, he's going to play himself out of it by games missed.
Gotcha,
but
Wilds.
Your set of rules is nonsense because there is an award for purely statistical dominance. It's called All-NBA. There is a reason that MVPs go along with winning, leadership, and culture. And there is a reason that James Harden doesn't have 6 of these things already. And Brandon, this is what I will go to you on. Show me, and we don't even have to do a blind reveal, just show me the James Harden seasons. Because I'll tell you what they all have in common. He didn't win MVP any of these seasons. Can someone make the case he is better this year? Then pick the year. You want to say those years he scored too much? Fine. What about 2017? He wasn't the MVP that year. Why? How is he better this year than 2017? He's not. And he quit on a team. So is he awesome, Brandon? Of
Nick,
course.
Please, I'm
is
disappointed.
He a top 5 player in the league? Of course. But he's not the league MVP. And he's not in the discussion, Brandon.
He's not in the discussion. He's the only player averaging 50 points. Yes, I said it, 50 points. 25 off of his own work, and then 25 off of his assists. There's no other player doing that. You need to stop
LeBron
this madness. I know you love LeBron. You love LeBron. Yeah, you love him, and I understand what you're trying to do here. But this dude is playing phenomenal. And when you talk about MVP, there's only a couple teams out there that is like, yo, this team should win it. And then there's a couple teams out there that's like, oh, this team can. The teams that should win it, the Clippers, the Lakers, and then you got the Nets. You take him off the Nets, and I don't know if they're in the should. They're probably in the can. So, look. This dude is the MVP. He's not the MVP. Let me take that back. He is definitely in a discussion, Jenna. Nick Wright and all this propaganda.
It's not propaganda. He quit on the team.
I don't think it's propaganda.
I'm just...
I actually can't even agree with Nick on this one.
Jenna, like, the year we throw Carlissimo, do we throw that out?
To
like
be
he was
disgusting.
Really good.